Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
No, I'm not walking it back. It's your fault. LeBron James is not a hypocrite, and he's also not wrong. Everything he said is 100% accurate and correct. Everything. And him chasing rings doesn't mean that his take on ring culture is wrong. It just means he understands he has to play by it. You know, it's kind of like when you hear somebody come on and say, you know, hey, I'll give you the perfect example. The interstate speed limit through Georgia is like 55 miles an hour for a hot minute. It is, what, 65 in South Carolina, and it's 70 in Florida. So when I drive through Georgia, I can rant and rave about how the interstate speed limit should be 70. I believe that Georgia has their interstate speed limit below the other states around it for a reason. You know what that reason is? So they can pop your ass doing 65 when you cross the South Carolina border. So that they can pop your ass when you cross over Florida doing 70. They can grab you. Bang. I drive that way regularly. 4, 5, 6 times a year when I go back to Pensacola. And inevitably, when I cross from South Carolina into Georgia, there's 2, 3, 4 people getting pulled over and getting tickets. When I cross from Georgia into Florida on the other side, there's 4, 5, 6 people pulled over getting tickets. Almost every time. There's a reason for that. So, I can complain and gripe about it all I want. But you know what else I have to do? Drive 55. I got to be anti-Sammy Hagar. I can drive 55, and I have to. Because otherwise, I get punished for it. Does it make me a hypocrite when I drive 70 in Florida? Does it make me a hypocrite when I go 5 miles over? No. It means I'm playing within the rules that are established because I am punished for it if I don't, even if it's a dumb rule. That's how the world works. You have to play within the rules of the system while fighting to change them. If I lived in Georgia, I would probably do some sort of petition or letter writing campaign to get the state Senate to up the speed limit on the interstate so it doesn't take me 9 hours to do what it takes me 7 to do in every other state. But I still have to do it until they change it. That's how the game works. That's LeBron. He is playing within the rules that y'all have established. He's doing things because he's got to conform to this system that y'all have arbitrarily created, but he's also fighting to get that system changed. He is fighting to change the mentality of ring culture. He is fighting to change this dumb rule that so many of y'all push constantly. You know what it is? It's the NBA's version of my poster back here. Quarterback stat. Wins and losses is not one of them. It's the same argument. We blame losses on quarterbacks even when they're not the quarterback's fault because it's a team game. We give credit to quarterbacks for wins even when they're not the quarterback's fault, I guess. Whatever word you want to use there. Whatever correct word you want to use there. They're not quarterback stats. They're a team stat. It's the NBA's version of that. And I fight against this dumb thing just like I hope LeBron continues to fight against that dumb thing. All right. We got a lot more to get to. Let's get a couple of texts in here real quick before we get to the audio blitz. We were talking about baseball umpires earlier because of the College World Series. Yeah, I'm probably going to go off on that one more time. Texter says, Corn Chip says, I give those guys props. Most I've done a slow pitch intramural softball umpiring. I'm friends with a major league player or two as well as an umpire who was working his way up before dropping down to college umpiring. I can only imagine what it's like for them. I don't have to imagine I've done it. Not umpired a major league baseball game, but I told you the story before about taking a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. There was a kid that played for LSU named Blake Dean. When I was doing radio down in Florida, he built a baseball training facility in Crestview, and I was working for the TV news, so he invited me out to come cover the opening of this facility. And one of the things he had in it was this pitching machine. The machine itself was behind a screen, and what they could do was they could change the angle of the pitching machine and then project a pitcher up onto the screen, throwing overhand, sidearm, submarine, whatever. And then they would put the image of the pitcher, and the video would roll of the pitcher throwing his pitch with his delivery, and then the ball would shoot out wherever the pitcher's hand was. When he released the ball, the ball would shoot out from behind the screen to simulate taking a pitch from a big leaguer. So Blake Dean opened this place, and when I got there, we started chatting, and he's like, hey, did you play ball? I was like, yeah, in high school. It wasn't very good, but I played a little bit. And he goes, you want to take a couple of pitches? And I said, absolutely, I do. Absolutely. Because I was, I don't know, 31, something like that. So I stepped into this rig. Had the helmet. Had the gloves. Had the elbow guard on. Like, I was big leaguer, man. I felt good. And he goes, all right, I'm going to give you 75 down the pipe. That is a college changeup at best. It's really more like a high school changeup. So I 75 down the pipe so you can get your swing back, get your rhythm back. And I said, great. Now, Blake, being a funny guy, Blake turned the machine up to 100 miles per hour for an inside four-seam heater.
Like, you wouldn't do that.
No, I absolutely would.
Yeah, I mean.
But he did it to me, so I hate it.
Okay, all right.
And let me just tell you. 100 miles per hour on the inside rubber made me nearly crap my pants. Okay? And that's not me like, ha-ha, funny. No, I mean I literally almost crap my pants. The ball went by. First off, they don't tell you this. You can hear the ball whistle by. You can hear it because it's traveling at the speed of friggin' sound.
Makes sense.
So you can hear the ball go by. There's a catcher back there. It pops the glove. It sounds like a gun went off. Lonzo, I took off the helmet. I set it on the plate. I took off the gloves. I sat him with the helmet. I sat the bat down, and I walked out of the cage. It was like the Undertaker retiring after WrestleMania. I just laid the boots in the center of the mat and bounced. And I have not seen a live pitch since then. Because I'm good. Now, the reason I tell you that story is to tell you that one of the other things I did was there were like 4, 5, 6 more media guys there, and they all went in to take cuts too. And because I was curious, I stood behind them where an umpire would, a couple of feet back, but like where an umpire would, and got down and wanted to call balls and strikes just to see. 100 mile an hour fastball, it is hard as hell to see where it's going to go. But this is why, and Cody Decker's made this point before, 10 years ago, not even decades ago, 10 years ago, an MLB staff normally had one guy that could throw 100 miles an hour on it. Now most staffs have like 3 or 4 guys that can tap 100. Most of them have 2 starters, maybe 3 that can get 100, a middle reliever who can do 100, and a closer who can do 100 plus. Aroldis Chapman has been in the Major League Baseball circuit for like 16 years, throws 104 miles per hour today. He's like 40 years old. He can still do it. Calling balls and strikes is real hard to do. Just physically, as a person, I don't care how long you've been doing, it's hard to do. And this is part of the reason that I have said, go to the ABS now. Because we have gotten to the point where pitchers can do things with a baseball that an umpire's eyeballs cannot comprehend and relay to his brain where that baseball was. So use the tech. It's hard to do. Use the tech. Texter said, the same manager talking about Kevin Schnall getting tossed. The same manager in the first game said we got to score to win, which they didn't do, so they lost. Both teams had to deal with the same elements. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. You are correct. Except for, at that point in the game, only Coastal, and I'm saying this as, again, I'm a neutral observer in this. I grew up an LSU fan because my family all went there. I am not like a big LSU fan. Like, I like them because my family likes them. But also, how many times have I told you, what's the number one motivating factor? If I'm not cheering for one of Rob Brown's teams, I have one motivating factor for who I am rooting for in any other game. What is it? Whoever's going to get me paid. If the South Carolina Gamecocks were at Omaha, I'd be in here rocking garnet and black. If Clemson goes to Omaha, I'm hitting you with a Go Tigers every day. Because if they win a championship, I get to come in here and celebrate that, and you guys are going to tune in to hear what I have to say about it. Give me that paper. All right? My rooting interests cannot be sold, but they can be rented for a paycheck. So, for my family, I was happy and hopeful for LSU. For my job, for the paycheck, it would have been fan-damn-tastic if the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers would have won a championship, because we'd have been in here talking about it. And I had the hot take crafted. Clemson and South Carolina should both be striving to one day, if they play all their cards right, one day, maybe, they'll be as good as the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. There's your fun hot take.
I don't see why you can't still use that.
No, take. I still can, because they were in the College World Series. Those other two teams either didn't make it or got bounced from the own regional that they hosted. So I still can say that. But blah, 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 blah. The point here was, yes, I agree. Both teams have to play under the same elements. Except 28 pitches into the game, it had absolutely been against Coastal Carolina at that point. I watched every pitch of that game. Every pitch. I only picked up the phone to rant on Twitter about the ejection. Other than that, I was not tweeting. I just wanted to be dialed into the baseball game. Because it's the last college baseball game I get for like 8 months. Of course I was locked into it. So, at that point, Coastal, who was already up against it being down a game, and on top of that, just not having the talent LSU does, they needed an equal game, and they weren't getting it. So, of course, I was going to complain about it. And, of course, Kevin Schnall was right. Spike said, Rob, are you saying LeBron had to put a ring on it? Yeah, for you people. For y'all. If LeBron not put a ring on it, Spike, for LeBron to be accepted by you, America, LeBron understood he had to put several rings on it. One ring wouldn't have done it. Y'all have said, oh, it's a fluke. It's a fluke. You know, even it says some bad players have won. Hell, Alex Caruso's got two rings. Is he a GOAT conversation guy? It was a fluke. He knew he had to put several rings on it. So what'd he do? He repeatedly and consistently went places that gave him the best chance to put several rings on it in order to win the approval of you basketball fans of America. It's your fault. LeBron's not a hypocrite. He understood the system, and he did what he had to do within the system to give himself a chance to be mentioned in the conversation, which I don't blame him for it. Let's see. Texas said Georgia has the high speed limit, yet they have more cops closer to the border pulling people over. I hardly see one on the South Carolina side coming back from Atlanta. That's from Cornchip. Did I get it backwards? Is it South Carolina lower than Georgia? I thought it was Georgia's that dropped down. I thought when you left South Carolina into Georgia,
it went
down.
I think more his point is where are the South Carolina police? I think that was his point.
Fair enough. Either way, the point here is it was not to comment on the law enforcement activities of any particular state. It was more along the lines to point out that there is a system. The system is designed to have an impact in a particular way. And even though that impact is detrimental, negative, and the system's dumb, you still have to play within that system. You can argue about it. You can take actions to change it. That's what LeBron's doing. He's trying to point out to you that the ring culture argument is dumb and bad. If it was not dumb and bad, we would not have to talk about it. Again, I went yesterday, after this became the discussion, I said, who are the best players to never win a ring? And I decided, let me see how many I can come up with off the top of my head. Malone, Barkley, Stockton, Iverson, Ewing, Nash, Miller, Baylor, Paul, Harden. That's the I came up with that 10. Are you going to tell me none of those players were great players? Are you going to tell me none of that? Are you going to sit here, you younger guy? You guys my age, you're going to tell me Allen Iverson wasn't a great player? You old hats, you're going to tell me Carmelo, John Stockton, and Elgin Baylor weren't great players? You kids who are slightly older than me, you're going to tell me Reggie Miller wasn't a great player? You're going to tell me Patrick Ewing wasn't a great player? They're all great players. They are all timers. They are all century team caliber players. None of them won a ring. Are you making the argument that none of them were great players? Because if you are, once again, you don't know ball, brother. That's just what it is. If you think those cats weren't great players and they weren't great players because they didn't win a ring. My argument is going to be, you don't know ball, brother, because Allen Iverson's one of the greatest point guards I ever watched play. John Stockton, one of the greatest point guards I ever watched play. I despised Patrick Ewing as a kid. Despised him as a kid. Also recognize the absolute greatness of Patrick Ewing. If you think those guys aren't great players because they don't have rings, I just went and dug that bite out specifically for that moment because it's accurate. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back here in a minute, let's get the audio blitz in here. Some of the best audio we picked up over the weekend. I got stuff from all over the sportosphere. We'll pick that up when we come back. I am Rob Brown. He is the great one, Lonzo. And you, even if you are wrong about the NBA's ring culture, are still an amazing person. And listening to the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
.8:40 on a Monday. That means it is time to welcome into the radio broadcast a young man who covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier, John Blau. Kind enough to take some time out of his day to talk some Clemson athletics here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. John, how we feeling, big dog?
I'm good. How are you, Rob?
Doing very well. Can I get your opinion? I know it's un-Clemson related, but because I've been ranting and raving and my blood pressure is high enough that I'm pretty sure my doctor's trying to text me right now, did you get a chance to watch the first inning of Coastal versus LSU yesterday? And did you have any strong reaction to the ejection of Kevin Schnall?
Yeah, obviously, I personally could not hear what Kevin Schnall said, but sure. I mean, I know that Angel Campos has a history with Clemson. He's the guy who ejected Cam Cantarella from the Tennessee game a couple years ago. It seems like his fuse is a little short, and it seems a little crazy. Obviously, again, Clemson also has a situation with Eric Backich last year where he got ejected from a super regional game. You never want to have your head coach ejected, and particularly in a game so big and such a big moment. To eject both the head coach and the first base coach, right? That's a crazy potentially crazy overreaction. Again, having not heard myself what was said, it still seems like it would have had to have been something really, really strong to go that far.
Yeah, it makes sense to me if like Kevin Schnall ran out there and punched Angel in the face or like maybe shouted what he did with his mom last night or something. Like, I would understand that, but it just felt to me like it was short-tempered, and the reason I wanted to ask was because, as you mentioned, Angel Campos is the same umpire that tossed Cam Cantarella, and that was a monumental moment in that regional for Clemson that ended up having a pretty big impact on what happened to, I thought, one of the best baseball teams in America that year. This kind of stuff can't happen moving forward in NCAA baseball, but unlike Major League Baseball, it doesn't feel like there's going to be any activity taken because of it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, just knowing Angel Campos is a former MLB ump who obviously didn't last in the MLB and now is in college and it's kind of stirring up controversy. Maybe you can have him in your rotation. I don't know about having him in the men's, College World Series or, again, a game like Clemson had a couple years ago where you're in extra innings. It's the hot one. Clemson, like you said, was one of the hottest teams in baseball, and then you eject arguably their best player, before extra innings happen. They lose. They don't have Cam the next day. They lose again out of the postseason, which is – I don't want to say program altering, because Eric Backage has still been able to get them to the regional, but who knows what might have happened in Eric Backage's first year if that didn't happen with Cam. So, there has to be a conversation for sure about kind of where the line is, kind of what the kind of, situation has to be for an ejection like that. And you just can't have umpires with such a short fuse that are going to drastically alter things. Because, yeah, going back to the Cam situation, I think he was just running by a Tennessee batter, may have said something between innings. Like you said, he didn't come up and punch the guy. There wasn't an altercation. I don't know what he could have said that could have justified tossing him in that situation. So it seems to be a pattern with this guy.
John Blau, Post and Courier, covers Clemson Athletics. All right, let's flip it over to the Tigers here for just a second. John Blau, I obviously check out the Twitter account daily to see what's going on. And my goodness, are you busy with the recruiting news and notes the last couple of days? Would you mind hitting some of the highlights and maybe in one case a low light of what's going on in Clemson?
Yeah, I mean, they've had a pretty good, stretch recruiting here. Obviously getting Leo Delaney, the 4-star offensive lineman a few weeks ago, got Dre Quinn, the 4-star defensive end. They did, however, miss on Joey O'Brien, the 5-star safety, who was a guy that got in kind of late on. Tom Allen had been recruiting him at Penn State. And, it ends up not going to Penn State or Clemson, ended up going to Notre Dame. They still got a lot of, opportunity out there. Danny Odom's a cornerback, a 4-star, actually plays with Chancellor Barclay, the offensive lineman, 4-star that Clemson already has committed, is going to be announcing today. I've heard people predicting he might go in another direction, so not sure, but obviously sometimes they can surprise you, so that'll be something to watch. I think that's at 5 p.m. today. And obviously a lot of other big names on the board still, obviously Tyler Atkinson being the major one. The 5-star linebacker. Clemson wasn't even in that recruitment for a long time. Then Tom Allen comes in, Ben Bolwer is promoted as the linebackers coach. All of a sudden you're back in that with Georgia, some of these other schools. I think Atkinson just visited Texas. So that's going to be a really difficult one to win, but Clemson at least still has a chance there. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this class completes itself. I mean, right now they're in the top 10. This does seem to have a chance to be a class that finishes in the top 10 for Dabo Swinney, which is a nice statement for this program after kind of taking a little bit of a slip last year with a lot of the NIL madness and the red. But now with the red share and everything else they got planned, maybe kind of rebounding a little bit in the recruiting department.
Has the rev share thing, and I know obviously every coach in college football is trying to figure out what their course of action is going to be moving forward in every direction with all of the new rules and the College Sports Commission and all that. But has there been any discussion from Dabo, from Tom Allen, from Riley, from any of the coaches out there about how they are navigating that, taking advantage of it? Are they changing the conversation with recruits? Do we have any inside info on what the behavior has been since the House v NCAA settlement came as to how Clemson maybe is taking advantage of that to create and craft a situation recruits are attracted to?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had much of a chance to ask Tom Allen or Garrett Riley about that, but Dabo Swinney's talked about it multiple times. Just, the fact that nobody's going to have more money than Clemson is what he said. Because rev share-wise, Clemson plans to split up the revenue by the percentages that it draws into the department. So Clemson football draws in about 82 to 85% of the revenue for Clemson, and so they're going to get, that percentage of rev share money, which is of the $18 million, because $2.5 million are set aside for scholarships, but that lands you around $15 million, which not a lot of schools are going to have more than that, if any at all. And so, Dabo has always been of the philosophy, we're not going to lead with NIL, we're not going to lead with that. But at the same time, if we're in the ballpark, if we're competitive, they think they have enough differentiators in terms of what else they sell. Obviously, being able to get players to the NFL, personal development in terms of their Paul Journey program, all that stuff, it's unique. That as long as they're in the ballpark and they're not getting outstripped by like $1 million on a recruit, because, maybe again, these booster-funded collectives are going to be less powerful if the Deloitte clearinghouse system actually vets these deals. then Clemson is in a better position. And so I think they feel like, again, with the rev share number they're going to have with Clemson Ventures, which is going to have this, you know, has its own, you know, sports marketing firm, Everett Sports Marketing, firm that's worked with Jalen Hurts and the Cavender Twins and all that to get them NIL deals. They're going to get them extra millions that way. It seems like Clemson has positioned itself in a better place where they can have more success on the recruiting trail. And it seems to be, you know, that whatever that pitch is, which again doesn't lead with NIL, but definitely features it, seems to be, you know, helping them with some recruits this cycle.
John Blau of The Post and Courier joining us here on The Rob Brown Show when the Fan Upstate does so every Monday at 8:40 a.m. Saw the dismissal of Marquise Henderson from the program last week. John Blau, haven't gotten a chance to check up with you since that news broke. Have we learned anything about that story? And was Marquise Henderson expected to be a player, a playmaker for this team? What does this do for his side of the football, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, there was no specific reason given for why he was dismissed. I mean, you have to assume it was an off-the-field issue. He didn't even really practice much at all during the spring. I mean, he was out with an injury. It was very limited, so it would remain to be seen how much of an impact he really have. Obviously, he was an athlete, a guy who could maybe play running back, maybe receiver, maybe he ends up on the defensive side of the ball eventually, but it was just a guy with such burst and athleticism, they were interested in bringing him in. But there had to have been some kind of issue off the field that kind of led to this. Obviously, Dabo has had issues with players in the past off the field. It takes a lot to get him to the point where he dismisses a player. I mean, I go back to like 3 years ago with Fred Davis and Malcolm Green getting in a car accident, seriously injuring a USPS driver. You know, those guys were not dismissed from the team. They remained on. He does really stick with guys for the long haul, unless there's something that it gets to a point where he doesn't feel like he can work with you, the message isn't getting across, all that. And so it had to be something of that variety. Obviously, again, we haven't been told exactly what it was, but it just hit a breaking point where eventually he got dismissed and he's going to have to go somewhere else to play football.
Got another couple of minutes here with John Blau of The Post and Courier. All right, there's a lot more I want to get to, but as I was scrolling the Twitter account yesterday, I came across one for something you written that I found very interesting, and I'm going to read the quote to you, John Blau, and then I'm just going to step away because as a fan of what's being said here, I just want to hear what led this tweet to be developed, and I quote, "Clemson defensive coordinator Tom Allen likes to say you're a product of the friends you have, the books you read, and the music you listen to, and his linebackers coach is going with Break Stuff by Limp Bizkit. John Blau is a child of the 90s and early 2000s, and therefore I am not ashamed to say a big fan of OG Limp Bizkit." What? Talk to me, man.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, Ben Boulware tweeted this out, that this is kind of the motto, and I'm guessing he means the motto for the season. It even had a picture of him standing next to Tom Allen, obviously his new boss, and yeah, Break Stuff from Limp Bizkit. I guess the idea is that the Clemson defense is going to break stuff from opposing offenses. And, yeah, it was an interesting choice because, again, Tom Allen is a very clean-cut man, a man of faith. I don't think I've ever heard him curse. I don't think he does. To kind of, you know, have a picture of him and Ben Boulware together and Limp Bizkit Break Stuff in there. And I think they did. I think it was a clean version of the song because I don't think it said break your effing face tonight. It said something else. But yeah, no, they're definitely going for a very aggressive song choice and motto for the season.
John, do you want to wrap this up by giving me your best Fred Durst growl at the end of that song?
No, thanks.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Worth a shot. John Blau from The Post and Courier. You can find him on X at @JohnJON_Blau, BLAU. And you can find him right here on The Rob Brown Show every Monday at 8:40. John, my man, great stuff as always. Appreciate you, big dog.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau from The Post and Courier. And if my day keeps going this way, I just might break your face tonight. Give me something to break. Ba-down, ba-down, da-down. Give me some. Okay. It's Limp Bizkit, buddy. I don't know what to tell you. There's a Rob Brown Spotify hype list, and that song's absolutely on it. I read that, and I'm like, Ben Boulware, the Clemson Tigers are winning every game by 50 this year.
Can't wait for that Bron Breakker theme by Fred Durst. It's going to be amazing.
How about your face? Oh, man. All right, I'm going to go out and run 3 to 4 miles during this break while Lonzo does a sports flash. Yeah! So come and get it.
with a 103-91 win over Indiana. The Oklahoma City Thunder claimed the 2025-26 NBA World Championship. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 29 in the win and claimed the finals MVP, becoming just the fourth ever player to win the scoring title, regular season MVP, and finals MVP in one season. The LSU Tigers won the College World Series Baseball Championship with a 5-3 victory, securing a two-game sweep of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, who had won 26 consecutive games entering the finals. Coastal Carolina head coach Kevin Schnall was ejected in the first inning in a controversial decision for arguing balls and strikes and leaving the dugout. 15-time NBA All-Star Kevin Durant has been traded from Phoenix to Houston in return for Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 pick in this year's draft, and 5 second-round picks. 37-year-old averaged 26.6 points, 6 boards, and 4.2 assists last year.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.